This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Christian Winfield is joining us right now from SB Nation. I start with Phil Jackson because when I called Christian just a second ago, get him on the phone, I was like, man, who knew this day was going to be crazy? He goes, look, I'm in New York right now, and it's just a great day right now in New York City. Oh, is that absolutely really the vibe, Christian, that just everybody is just so ecstatic that Phil Jackson's gone?
Man, listen, the sun is shining bright. You know, it was raining a little bit yesterday. There's clear forecast. It is amazing. Twitter seems to be incredibly happy that Phil Jackson is no longer the president of the Knicks. You know, I wish things could have gone different given Jackson's history. You know, he did win 11 championship rings, brought 6 to the Bulls, 5 to the Lakers. You know, he's one of, if not the greatest head coach of all time. You know, sometimes that transition just isn't so smooth. And, you know, I was really pulling for him. I was hoping that he would find a way to right the ship. But when things go the way it goes, or the way it went for Phil in New York, you know, the clock starts ticking, especially when you start dangling the future like Kristaps Porzingis out there, man. So from what I've seen, everyone is pretty happy that Phil Jackson is gone. And, you know, it's on to the next thing.
And with him being there and his time there, there's going to be numerous storylines connected to him. It's going to be, you know, what would he have done if Carmelo hadn't have been there? You know, did he make bad decisions at bringing in, you know, former players to be his head coach? Like, what was the problem with Phil Jackson? Was Carmelo the problem? Did he make bad executive decisions, or was it just a combination of everything?
I think that the biggest problem with Phil Jackson was that he was just really not trying to hedge on the triangle offense. He had that in his pocket. That was his agenda. He wanted to push that offense, and it didn't work. You know, he brought in players. You know, when he brought in Derrick Rose, I knew from there that it was either going to be the players or the triangle, and they went back to the triangle, and the system just kind of took over, and the Knicks kind of floundered. You know, if you look back to the season, they were 14-10 at one point when they were running Jeff Hornacek's offense, when they were running that high screen and roll and getting up and getting those shots out early. And then as you could see them going back to the triangle, you could see people starting to get frustrated. You could see Derrick Rose talking about the triangle's random offense. You could see Kristaps a little frustrated because he had no idea which direction the team was going. And it was just disarray all around, you know. So I think that when Phil decided that he wanted to go back to the triangle, that's when things started to trend downwards. If you're going to bring in a coach like Jeff Hornacek, you let him do his thing. You know, and he didn't really give Jeff Horn a second chance. He didn't really give the players a chance because these are the guys he brought in, and they didn't necessarily fit the triangle. When you got a point guard like Derrick Rose, who's an attack first guard, and in the triangle, you need a guy who's going to move the ball around but doesn't need the ball in his hands. It's pretty much doomed from the start once you do that.
Well, Christian, this morning I heard, and I believe it was Stephen A. Smith this morning mentioned on another network that Phil never really wanted the job, that he said that Dolan just kept coming with more money and more money and more money until finally he just said, I can't say no to this amount of cash. Is there anything to that? I mean, because it seems like he's disinterested. I mean, he fell asleep in the middle of a workout. I mean, was this a job that he took just because it was there, the money was so good? And did Dolan keep coming after him because he thought it would work, or just because the city of New York was so sick of Dolan that they were about ready to start picketing the MSG and figure that Phil Jackson would come back and maybe provide some shade for him?
You know, I would defer to Stephen A. on that one. I'm sure he's a lot more plucked into the Knicks than I am. That sound, you know, when you look at the contract, I believe Phil made $50 million or something, or maybe 60, wow. One of those two numbers.
Yeah, I think it was five.
That's
five and
unheard
12.
Of. Yeah, that's unheard of for a president, you know. So if it was me and I didn't want a job, but someone kept upping the amount of money they're going to give me, you know, I'd just cave and take it. So, you know, I guess you could say it did seem at times he's a bit disinterested, especially when we saw he was at his home in Montana during free agency. I think that was last summer or the summer before. And then this time around, we hear he's asleep at someone's workout. You know, I mean, if it wasn't the job he wanted, maybe he shouldn't have taken it anyway. I don't know. I personally don't know if that's the case. I would defer to Stephen A. on that one. But if someone came to me saying, hey, we will give you $60 million to turn this thing around if you can, I'm dropping everything at the drop of a dime, and I'm taking that $60 million. That's what Phil did.
Well, and now you have to go, all right, well, who's a perfect GM? I mean, we look at athletic directors here in the Southeastern Conference, and we start saying, okay, well, you know, first you need a president. Then once the president's there, then he's going to bring in his own athletic director, and this athletic director is going to bring in certain coaches. Like, but for the NBA, it's, again, who is a perfect general manager? Is there a perfect general manager? Is there a way that the Knicks would want to go to make themselves better where Porzingis and Carmelo is happy? Or is Carmelo still going to be one of the guys that they're trying to get a buyout from?
You know, the whole buyout thing, I'm not sure the Knicks are going to buy out Carmelo. It's a lot of money they owe him. I'm not sure they're going to want to pay him that just for him to go to another team. You know, I think in an ideal world, the Knicks, if they are going to trade Carmelo, they're going to want to get something of value in return. And you look at what they gave up years ago. They gave up Wilson Chandler, Gallo, Raymond Felton, all those guys were in their prime. You know, and to lose him for nothing would kind of be counteractive to what you did a couple years ago. But when I think the Knicks and GM and president, well, Steve Mills is the GM, Phil was the president. As of right now, from what I know, Steve Mills is still going to be, you know, all the calls are going through Steve Mills in terms of the direction for the franchise. They hired, I believe his name is Tim Lewicki. I can't pronounce his name. He's the guy that hired Masai Ujiri over in Toronto, and he's overseeing the direction of the franchise, at least for now. I guess it's interesting. I think the next piece is what happens with Jeff Hornacek, because the head coach is the guy who's directly tied into the players. Are they going to give Jeff Hornacek a chance to get the offense that he wanted in there in the first place? Are they going to fire him and kick him out with Phil Jackson? You know, I think I heard Stephen A. earlier talking about, are they going to go after Mark Jackson? Are they going to go after Jeff Van Gundy? All these guys that can coach, which would be cool, because this is what you need in New York. You need a player's coach at this point, because clearly the X's and O's aren't there, especially as it pertains to the triangle. But if they're starting to look for presidents, or they're starting to look for a new GM, I would assume that search starts with David Griffin, who just left Cleveland not too long ago. Again, I don't know for sure. I'm not hearing this from anyone. These are just, you know, I'm just trying to put one and two together. But David Griffin is out there. Larry Bird stepped down in Indiana, though I'm not sure he's trying to come to New York. Not sure how that fit would work out either. But, you know, there's options out there. But I think they need to assess what they want to do with their head coach first. If it was up to me, I'd say, hey, let Jeff Hornacek do what he does, because earlier in the season, they were looking pretty okay up until midway when they started hammering down on that triangle. So if they can go back to the up-tempo offense Jeff Hornacek was running earlier, I think that might be a better look.
So with Phil gone, and obviously Kristaps had a major problem with him, and we talked a lot on this show after the finals were over with about these teams, these quote-unquote super teams, and how he would fit at different places, including Boston and some other places. Is he going to be back? And if that's the case,
I don't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
With Phil Jackson gone, there's no reason that the Knicks could even think about trading Kristaps. You know, I remember looking at my phone, and I'm like, wait, is this real? Are the Knicks really entertaining a trade for their best player moving forward? You know, and that didn't really make much sense, and I feel like this was kind of like a power struggle. It was either the Knicks were going to keep Phil Jackson or they were going to keep Kristaps. And reminder, you know, James Dolan just picked up the last 2 years on Phil Jackson's contract a couple months ago. So to fire a guy who you just said, hey, we're going to pay you the rest of your money for a young superstar in the making, at least in Kristaps, that's a message from the front office to Kristaps, like, hey, we're choosing you over Phil Jackson. We're choosing you over these antics, over these side shows. Come back home. Let's build. And I think Kristaps will be back, and I think they'll be better in the future.
Christian Winfield joining us right now, SB Nation. And let's go across the country. Is Jerry West, we joked about a second ago, is he like an undercover agent that's just sent in to screw up the Clippers for the Lakers? What's going on? I mean, he's been there for, what, a week or two, and you've already got Blake Griffin's opting out. Chris Paul just got traded. DeAndre Jordan's looking around, looking for some friends. I mean, what's going on?
When I think DeAndre Jordan, I think about that little Will Smith meme where it's him in the room by himself and there's nobody else in there. It's kind of unfortunate because he came back to L.A. because those guys wanted him back, and now those guys are leaving him to go by himself. But I guess that's just the way it goes. It's a business. In terms of Jerry West, I think he knows what he's doing. Honestly, I think it's time to blow it up, and I think that's what he's doing. You know, these guys have shown that they can compete when healthy, but they can't stay healthy. And even though they can compete, can they beat a Golden State Warriors? Probably not. Can they beat the Spurs? Probably not. Can they beat the Rockets? That series might go seven. You know, it's tough, and we're seeing that in the NBA. It's becoming a more perimeter focused, it's a more guard driven league, and the Clippers just didn't have the wherewithal, the funds, or anything to get better. You know, unless they were going to trade DeAndre Jordan or whatever. So I think that moving on from Chris Paul and getting something back for him, what they get? They got Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Sam Decker, a couple other young players, and a pick. I think that pick is important, even though the Rockets are probably not going to be a lottery team. But I think that they're moving in the right direction. It's time. You know, they tested it for 6 years. It didn't work out. You know, it could have worked out had they not gotten injured. But sometimes you just got to press the big red button and that's what they do, you know, and kudos to Jerry West for being the one that tells them it's time to blow it up.
So where does Sean Long play in this for the Rockets? I know that the Rockets literally just made this trade probably 30 minutes or an hour ago for Sean Long. The Rockets have already sent away both or two of their draft picks for next year. Do they have any more draft picks, or are they literally all in for next season?
Let me tell you, I literally saw that Sean Long was an add-in to this deal about 45 seconds before you called me, so I have very little to no knowledge on who he is and what he's done. But
that's all we need to know.
Daryl Morey, if Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni made a trade for this guy, I don't know if he had what his skills are. If he's just an extra body to be on the roster, but they're going to do something with it. Either he's setting up another trade or another acquisition, or maybe this guy can pour in threes. I don't know. I never heard about Sean Long in my life until about 45 seconds ago.
Well, and that's why I asked, because now Paul George, the questions now is like, where's Paul George going to be? Is he going to be a Cav? Is he going to be a Lakers? Now is he going to be a Rocket? Like, is he going to be a Pacer next season, or is he going to be a part of a trade here in the next couple of days?
Oh, no. I don't. I would bet a good chunk of money that Paul George is not a Pacer to start the season, just because when you look at the things he said, you know, it's time to go. He basically said, I want to go to Los Angeles. You know, I believe he wants to win a championship, but he's wanted to win it in Indiana. They didn't put the pieces around him. And now it's just kind of like, it's kind of awkward. You know, you've got a player who's told the front office, who's told all the fans, who's told everyone that he does not want to be in Indiana. So why even start the season with him in there, unless they're just trying to, you know, shame him and drag it out for 82 games and have him play in front of a fan base that's going to boo him the entire season? I would assume they get rid of him before the start. And then why delay building around Miles Turner? You know, you've got this kid. I when I watched him block the shot on one end and then shoot a step-back three-pointer on the other, I was like, all right, this kid is special. So I think they're going to start building around him. Why delay that another year by keeping Paul George around? I think they trade him, find someone who can give them something in return, kind of like how the Bulls, I wasn't a big fan of the Bulls trade. I think they could have got more, but they still did get Chris Dunn. Even though Zach LaVine's hurt, if he gets back healthy, he's still a really, really good young player. And they got a pick. If they can get something like that, if not more, I think they win in the Paul George situation.
Christian, I'm looking at the Rockets, and they went and got Chris Paul. They have James Harden there, and we mentioned that Sean Long is now there, Darren Hilliard, Tim Quarterman, Ryan Kelly. I thought Ryan Kelly played center for the Colts, but then DeAndre Liggins. I don't know any of these guys. Who do they have on that team, or who can they go get to put? Again, they're obviously all role players. Who can they put with Chris Paul and James Harden to make this team anywhere close to a legitimate shot at knocking off the Warriors?
Well, I mean, anytime you've got Chris Paul and James Harden, that in itself is like, all right, we have something to build around. I believe they've still got Clint Capella, Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, and Eric Gordon.
Okay.
They can probably either package some of those guys together and try to go get a Paul George, or try to go get somebody to run and shoot threes with them. It'll be tough. They do have some money, but once you take Chris Paul's, what do you make, $23 million or so? Once you take that money and you put it next to James Harden, and you got the contract that they just gave out, Ryan Anderson's close to $20 million. Eric Gordon's up there in the mid, like, say, 15.
He's like 12.9, I think, is what.
Yeah,
what
somewhere in there. You know, this salary cap is, this salary situation is pretty, it's pretty locked up. They're probably going to have to trade some of those guys, but if they can haul in another big fish, if they can package something together and send it to the Pacers for Paul George, that would be, you know, that's a legitimate big three. And even if they don't, you're putting Chris Paul, who's been one of the best, if not the best point guard in the league for the last 10 years or so, with Mike D'Antoni, who turns regular point guards into above average, way above average guards. Look what he did with Raymond Felton and Jeremy Lin in New York. You know, look what he did with James Harden. He turned a shooting guard. He turned one of the best scoring guards in the NBA into one of the best point guards in the NBA. Imagine giving him the best point guard in the last 10 years. I think they'll find a way to make it work. There will be a learning curve, a little adjustment period to having two ball dominant players play together. You know, when you look at James Harden, he has to have the ball in his hands to score. They're both kind of guys who dribble the ball into the ground. But with D'Antoni, I think that offense is going to move pretty quickly. So it'll be interesting to see how they make it work. But if they can add a third star in there, that would be, I don't know if the Spurs would have a chance. It would really be between the Warriors and the Rockets if they did that.
Well, Christian, man, I know the sun is shining out in New York City, so we'll let you go so you can enjoy it for the next couple of hours, man. And we appreciate you coming on with us, all right?
Thanks for having me, man. Hopefully you guys get to come out and enjoy some of this sunlight one day.
Oh, we definitely will, man. I'll tell you that right now. Thanks, have a good one, Christian. All right?
You do the same.
All right, see you. As Christian Winfield, NBA writer for SB Nation, knows his stuff. And, again, it's a great day up in New York City. Apparently the whole city's celebrating right now. Yankees have lost like 9 of 10 games. And they're like, screw it. Phil Jackson's gone. That's all we care about.
Your city, your station, your voice. This is The Fallout on Sports Radio 740.